announce to the church before the evening service. Any prayer requests? Rod? Okay. Wow. Okay. Okay. So pray for Roger's son. Yeah. Okay. Very good. And of course, keep Cody in your prayers if you would. He's been out in college for a week now. Classes start tomorrow. So tomorrow he's going to have the load dropped on him. But a little bit of a change, but he's got a lot of friends and different ones out there that we're acquainted with. So he's in a good place, but keep him up in prayer as well. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer before we sing, and then we'll get into our service. Father, again, we thank you so much for this Lord's Day. We thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the privilege that we have to be your children. Father, thank you again for your love and your mercy and your grace towards us each and every day, your watch care, your provision. Father, thank you again for the church and the love that you have for the church, and what a privilege it is to be a member of the body of Christ. And so, Father, I pray that as we gather tonight as a church, as called out assembly of baptized believers, Father, I pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and all that is done tonight. Father, I pray again for these prayer requests. We do lift up Pastor Wetzel. Pray that your hand would be upon him. We know that you are the great physician, and so we ask, Lord, that your perfect will would be accomplished there. Pray that you would just get him back to that 100% and help him, Lord, to have comfort and peace during this this time. No doubt it's a trial, it's a difficulty for him, and so we just pray that you'd lift his spirits and help him at this time. We do pray for Brother Roger's son with the eye situation there. Pray that you would help that heal very quickly. And Lord, we pray for Cody as well as he is there in Bible college. Just pray that you give him a good week and just speak to his spirit, his soul. And it's exciting to think how you call each and every one of us in serving you. And so we're grateful that Cody surrendered to that calling and looks forward to what you're going to do in his life. So, Father, again, thank you again for the opportunity that we have to be in your house tonight. Pray that that our praises being sung unto you and our worship through the preaching and through the giving, Lord, would glorify you. And again, Father, thank you so much for all that you do. Pray that your perfect will would be accomplished tonight. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Anyone have a favorite? Want to start with? How about Cynthia? Did you have something? 428. 428. He has to get the right book. So that's it.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength for each day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh, glory to God, for such a redeemer is mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. When clothed in the brightness, transported I rise perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand.
Amen. Yes, sir. 107. I guess, would you all rise and we'll sing the Navy hymn?
Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm has bound the restless way, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Oh, Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain passes or low, wherever, Lord, our brethren go, protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril on the land. O Spirit, whom the Father sent to spread abroad the firmament, O wind of heaven, by thy might save all who dare the eagle's flight and keep them. him by thy watchful care from every peril in the air. O Trinity of love and power, our brethren shield in dangers out from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall raise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea.
Amen. You can all be seated. Amen. One of these days we'll be able to sing that without even opening up the book.
At the spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Amen. That's what we all want. Amen. One more and we'll have our offering. 554. Would you all rise and we'll sing 554. Brother Ramel, as usual. Would you come and help us out, brother? Amen.
Nothing between my soul and my Savior, not of this world, delusive of dream. I have renounced all sin for pleasure. Jesus is mine, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and my Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Amen.
Nothing between like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from him ever sever. He is my all, there's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between like pride or a station. Self or friends shall not intervene, though it may cost me much tribulation. I am resolved, there's nothing between. Nothing between the soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Nothing between ere many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene, watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of his favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing between.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
again, it's good to be with you tonight. And again, keep praying for Brother Wetzel. I believe that the Lord would have us right back where we were two Sunday nights ago. And so if you would take your Bibles and turn them to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And two Sundays ago, we looked at what true fellowship looked like. And we looked at that in verses 1 through 4. And tonight, I'd like to look at verses 5 through 7. And we'll look at one of the great truths of the Bible, that God is light. And because He is light, we are to walk in the light as the children of light. And so hope this message will be an encouragement to you tonight. So if you found your place in 1 John, go ahead and stand with me for the honor of reading God's word in respect. And for those that might not have been here a couple Sunday nights ago, we'll do just a little bit of review, get everybody sped right up, and then we'll look at our text. But let's begin reading in verse 1, even though we've already looked at this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." So a couple weeks ago, we were talking about how we can have that joy-filled life as Christians. And what that looks like is to have fellowship with one another, have fellowship with Christ. Well, what does fellowship mean? Well, it means to be involved. It means to be engaged. It means to be in communion. And so we'll look at that again tonight very briefly. But let's look at this tonight, verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you," talking about the teachings of Jesus Christ, "that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Father, again, we thank you so much for your inspired word and how it does change lives. And no doubt we need our lives changed tonight. I think of every opportunity that we have to be in your house, to sit under your preaching. Father, to be able to open your book and glean from its truth, its wisdom. And Father, we need it each and every day. And we need to sit under the preaching of it as well. And so, Father, I pray that you would use this portion of Scripture to encourage our hearts and to help us to be more like Christ. Father, I don't know every heart here, as was even mentioned this morning, but you do. And so we just pray that the Holy Spirit might have his perfect will and way in this place tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing again. Again, we're talking about John, the Apostle John. He's the one that is being used of God to write these words. And he's writing these words to, if you remember, a third generation of Christians. Well, why is he writing this letter to these Christians? Well, because over these generations, this third generation, there has been some false teachings that have crept into the church. And we talked about a couple weeks ago how, you know, John sees this false teaching taking place, and so he's trying to correct it. We see here in verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." He's talking about Jesus Christ. He's saying, listen, We walked with him. We talked with him. We sat under his teaching. We've seen his miracles. We sat under his preaching. And man, we saw lives change. We saw demons cast out. We saw the lame healed from their crippledness. And we saw the blind healed. And now they see. And we saw the deaf. And now they hear. And it's all because of Christ. He's changed lives. He's changed my life, is what John is saying. And because of that conviction that is in John's heart, in his spirit, he wants people to know the truth. And so he sees these false teachings taking place. And I don't know if we mentioned this a couple weeks ago, but some of the false teachings that was being presented to this third generation was some of the false teachings that we hear about today. You know, there was the teaching that Jesus Christ was not God, that he was just a man, that he was a prophet. And John is saying that's not true. We saw him. We heard God the Father. We heard his voice when Jesus was being baptized there in the Jordan. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. And so we have the account of God the Father. And we know that Jesus Christ, listen, why were the Pharisees and the Sadducees out to get Jesus Christ? Because he claimed to be the Son of God. Because he claimed to be the bread of life that came down from heaven. He claimed to be equal with God. And so they wanted him dead. But Jesus Christ never rebuked them for thinking that. Why? Because he was God. He was God manifested in the flesh. There was the teaching that he was nothing more than a spirit, you know, like a phantom. Yes, God is spirit. But Jesus Christ, what John is saying here is, listen, I touched him. I walked with him. I heard him. My eyes saw him. My hands touched him. My ears heard him. All of those things. He is real. He is not a spirit. And there was also the teaching that Jesus was man when he was born, but then when he was baptized there in the Jordan, that was the time when the Spirit of God descended on him, that he became God. And John is refuting all of those things, and he's trying to help these third generation Christians to know the truth, to have fellowship with them and have fellowship with the Father, and through that fellowship that they might have that full joy. And I used the illustration a couple weeks ago about little school kids in the classroom, sitting in a row, and the teacher would whisper that little message into that first child's ear, and then that child would translate that message to the next child, and then that child would then pass that same message on to the next child. And what we often see is that message changes from one child to the next because the message kind of gets mixed up. Well, that's what John is saying here. Listen, we saw him. We heard him. We touched him. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And we saw these miracles, and he has given us the truth. And now we're out preaching the gospel, and people are getting saved. And so that second generation turned from their sins and called upon Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. They became children of God because of the convictions of that first generation of Christians. Well, oftentimes we see as a message will change, the hearts of the people change. And so that second generation of Christians, they didn't necessarily have that conviction of the first because they just received it from that generation. You know, they got the message secondhand. They believed it. They saw the conviction in the first generation of Christians, but it wasn't the same. They never met Christ face to face. And so now that second generation of Christians, they're going out, they're witnessing, they're reaching people. And now, if you can imagine, now you have a third generation of Christians that they don't have the conviction of the first generation. They don't even necessarily have the beliefs of that second generation of Christians. It's more of, well, that's your opinion. And we could say that we see that today. You can go out door knocking and you can be witnessing to people and you can say, hey, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God manifested in the flesh. Well, that's your opinion. My church teaches me this, that he was a prophet. He was a good guy, you know. And so that's where doctrinal errors end up in the church. And so that's what John is trying to do. We have to understand, John at this point is probably one of the last living apostles. And that first generation of Christians, these apostles, most of them, if not all of them, died a martyr's death because of their convictions. And John has seen that. Can you imagine that, being one of 12 disciples? And you have seen each and every one die for the cause of Christ based on their convictions. And here is John writing this letter to the third generation Christian, willing to die himself. And again, he writes in verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And he continues and says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you." He's again kind of piggybacking on what he's already said. Listen, I've seen him. I've walked with him. I've talked with him. I've sat under his preaching. I've seen his miracles. And all of the time that I spent with him, this then is the message which we, as all the apostles, heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. You know, that verse doesn't say that God is a light. It says God is the light. Right? God is light. And so I want us to understand something, that there's no darkness in God whatsoever. There's not a sliver of darkness. There's not a particle of darkness. You know, when I read these verses, I can't help but to think of what took place there in Genesis chapter 1. When in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth, right? It was without form. There was nothing. God spoke and things became, because God is the supreme one. He is the self-existent one, as we had talked about this morning. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is everywhere. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He has all of those characteristics, and he is all-powerful. And so when there was nothing, it was just darkness. But when he spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light, the darkness went away and there was only light. Genesis chapter, think about this. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." Where there is light, there is no darkness. There's a division there. And so there was darkness. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And guess what? There was no more darkness. John Phillips says it this way: "Darkness cannot drive out the light, but light can drive out the darkness." And that is so true. And if God is light, and there's no darkness in him whatsoever, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So what is John saying there? He's saying that when God, who is light, has moved into our lives, we could say it this way, the Spirit of light, the Spirit of life, the Holy Spirit of God Himself, the Comforter, when we call upon Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit takes a part of our life. He moves into our heart. And what takes place is the light moves the darkness out. And that should be what takes place in our life. That's how we become a new creature. That's the teaching of Christ or of Paul when he said, old things are passed away, behold, right? All become new, right? And so we have that new character, that new characteristic. We have the fruit of the Spirit, if you will, that takes place. And so if Jesus Christ is our Savior and He is light and there's no darkness in Him, then we as children need to walk in that light. Psalms 82 verse 5 says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundation of the earth are out of course. And so we see that a person that is without Christ is one that walks in darkness. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18 and 19. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And so you can see the difference there. The children of light, the children of God, are to live a life according to the light. And a person that has no relationship with God, no doubt, has been blinded. They're spiritually blind, and therefore they have no light, and so they can't help but to walk in darkness. And so again, this message that John is trying to get across is that these things that he's writing unto them, that their joy may be full. And this joy comes from having fellowship with one another and having fellowship with God. And again, verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, if we say that we are communion, if we say that we are in communion with Him, if we say that we are in partnership with Him, if we say that we are involved or engaged in the same things that Jesus Christ was engaged in, then we will be walking in the light. And I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. When the Bible talks about light, it's talking about the truth. It's talking about, you know, the lights are on, and so we can see the things that are real in this room, right? If the lights were out and the blinds were closed and it was dark in here, we would have no aspect of what reality was. It's the light that brings truth. And so that's what John is saying here, that God is truth. God is light. And because He's light, He's given us His truth. We are now children of truth. We are now children of light. And so we are to be walking in light. We are to be walking in truth. So again, in verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We're not living that Christian life that we're called to. Do this with me. Go back to the book of John, chapter 1, the Gospel of John. I want to kind of use this account to maybe explain what the Apostle John is trying to get across in 1 John. Now, he's the same penman for this book, but we see that he's talking about another John. So there's many Johns in the Bible, and so here in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 6, it talks about a John. This John here is John the Baptist, okay? John is writing, John the Apostle. Man, I'm getting this all confused, aren't I? John the Apostle is writing about John the Baptist here in verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Well, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the light. John the Baptist was sent by God to be a witness, to be the one that prepares the pathway for the Messiah. He was preaching repentance. He was preaching Jesus Christ. And so we see here in verse 8, he, being John the Baptist, was not that light. He wasn't the light. Who was the light? Jesus Christ was the light. So he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. That true light, that light that had no darkness. There was no sliver. He was pure light. He was pure truth. He was true light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So we see that Jesus Christ was there back in Genesis chapter 1 when he spoke the very world into existence. When he said, let there be light, there was light. He was the creator according to John here in the Gospel of John. So we have this account of John the Baptist preparing the way. He was not the light, but he was preparing for that light, Jesus Christ. Now look over to verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? You know, so picture this. John the Baptist is preparing the way for the Messiah. He's not the light, but he's preaching about the light, Jesus Christ. And so he's making a scene. I mean, he's down in the Jordan. He's baptizing believers in the name of Jesus Christ. And people are coming. People are repenting of their sins. And so now these priests, these Levites, look verse 19 again. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. He wasn't the Christ, but the priests, the Levites, thought that he was the Christ, thought that he was the Messiah. Why? Because he was walking in the light. He was preparing the way. He was being that witness that God had called him to be. But he knew that people thought that he was the Christ. What was taking place? He had that light. He was that child of God. And that light had moved into his heart, into his soul, and it changed his character. His walk was different. His talk was different. He was putting Christ first in his life. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now you see these religious leaders, they're wondering who this person is. And John the Baptist is like, I'm not the Christ. Well, if you're not the Christ, verse 21, and they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, making straight the ways of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptize thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchets I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And so I look at it like this. John was not the light, but he reflected the light. You know, he was like a reflector. You know, I remember as a kid riding my bicycle, and I had reflectors all over my bike. And so that when the light from a car would hit my bike, those reflectors would shine that light back to them, and they would see that there was something there in the road. You know, we consider the moon, right? It doesn't have any light of itself, but we see it at night as it reflects the sun that is shining on it, and then it reflects back to us. Basically, that is what John the Baptist was doing. He was not the light, but we see that that light that was within him in the person of the Holy Spirit was being manifested to everybody around him. And so that's what John is saying here, that's what we should be doing, is we should be reflecting that light, that truth that has been given to us. If we say that we have fellowship, that we have partnership, that we have communion with him and walk in darkness, we lie. We're a liar. We're a hypocrite. Because if we're a child of God, if we are a child of light, then that light should be seen by others that are around us. Let me ask you a question. When you're with your family members, or when you're at work, or if possibly you're at the supermarket, or here's a good one, I'm guilty of this. What if you're on the highway in your car in traffic? Do people see the light being lived out in your life that is a part of you? Because God is light. And if you're saved tonight, then you're a child of God. You're a child of the light. And that light should be seen by others. There should be no road rage when it comes to Christians. There should be no foul speech. There should be no inappropriate places of entertainment that we should be involved with. We should be being involved in the very things that Jesus Christ was involved with, because he was light. And he walked in the light. And he is our perfect example. And therefore, we should be walking in light. But here's the truth of the matter. We can come to church, and we can put on our best dress, and we can say that we had a good week, and that the Lord's been blessing our life, and we've spent good time in God's Word, and we've been spending good time in prayer. But John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we're not actually walking in the light, we're nothing more than a liar. That we're a hypocrite. But, I love the buts of the Bible. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's not the walking in the light that cleanses us from all sin, but it's what took place prior to that. We have been cleansed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we are a child of God, and therefore we are walking in the light. That should be each and every one of our testimonies. And that is what John is trying to get across here in this account. This then is the message. This is the message which we have heard of him, heard of Jesus Christ, and declare it unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know, why is it, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, why is it that people struggle so much with the Christian life? Because they're unplugged. They're not involved. They're not walking in the light. They're not doing the things that Jesus Christ was doing when he was walking on this earth for those 33 and a half years. He was teaching his disciples what was important. And those disciples began to do those things which were important. And they passed it down to the next generation. And then that generation passed it down. But over the generations, it just seems like it gets worse and worse and worse. And so what John is trying to do is he's trying to get them back to the beginning. Trying to get them to understand the message. The most important thing that Jesus Christ wanted everybody to know. He said, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." So if you're struggling in the Christian life, if you're kind of down and out, your joy isn't full, John says it's because you're not in fellowship with God the Father. And you're not in fellowship with us. Meaning you're not involved in the things of God. Here's the pathway that Jesus Christ wants you to be on. It's the pathway of light. And you've gotten yourself off of that pathway and you're in the dark. You're not walking in truth, but you're walking a lie. You want everybody to think that you're walking in the light, but deep down in your heart, you know that you're walking in darkness. And we can't hide anything from God. He knows absolutely everything. And he knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we're on a journey. He's growing us and he's maturing us. Listen, when the children of Israel were delivered there from their bondage there in Egypt, why were they marching around in circles for those 40 years? Because they weren't ready to go into the promised land yet. And God used those 40 years to grow them, to mature them, to help them to trust him. And you know what? We're in a journey. We're on a journey of faith. And every day that goes by, we should be learning more and more about God. He should be drawing us closer and closer to him. We should be more and more in the light instead of outside of the light, walking in darkness. And so if you're not having full joy in the Christian walk, in the Christian life, get involved. That's what John is saying. Participate. Get in communion with the things of God, with the things of the church. And what are those things? And it always comes back to it always does. I'm telling you, it's always, any time that I counsel with somebody, they're having a difficult time or whatever the case might be, I'm always, where are you in your Bible reading? Listen, if you're not regularly in the Word of God, if you're not allowing God to speak to you on a regular basis, how do you expect to get closer to God? So if he's not talking to you through his Word, how's your prayer life? Well, if you're not talking to him, Sheree and I's relationship is based on communication. You know, if we don't communicate, our relationship is going to suffer. If I wake up in the morning and I just ignore her and jump in the car and go to work, and then I come home And she's fixing dinner for me, and I just grab the plate and dish up and start eating my food and throw the dish in the dishwasher. Or no, I'll just throw it in the dish or in the sink, right? That'll go over real good. But during all of this time, I'm not saying a word to my wife. Do you think that's going to affect our relationship? Oh yeah. And when we're not allowing God to speak to us, and when we're not speaking to Him, do you think that that's going to improve our relationship, or do you think it's going to hinder our relationship? And of course it's going to hinder it. We have got to be in the Word of God. We have to be sitting under the preaching of God's Word. We have to have a regular time where we're spending communicating to God in prayer. And I'm not just talking about praying for our food or thanking Him when things go right. We need to spend good quality time in our prayer closet, spending communion with God. And we need to be involved in the things that are passionate with God. God loved the church so much that He died for it in the person of Jesus Christ. And we are to be members of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is the church. And so why was the church organized? You know, was it just an organization so that we would have a place to go? Do you realize that the church was created, it was built by Jesus Christ, and it was for the children of God? What do we get out of the church? You know, oftentimes that's why people choose a church, is what they get out of it. But it should be what you put into it. Because what you put in is what you get out. And we, as members of the body of Christ, need to be completely involved in the church. Because that is God's passion. And the church was given a commission, and that commission was to reach souls. And so how do we reach souls? By walking in the light. We can be witnesses. We can be good testimonies. I'm telling you, you live a life in the light, and people are going to notice you just like people noticed John the Baptist. They wanted to know, who is this guy? I mean, he's making a difference. He is drawing crowds. Who is he? He must be the Messiah. He must be the Christ. And so they went down there. Why? Because he was walking in the light and they saw that light. And I'm telling you that people at work and people in the supermarkets and your family and people here in church, they see your testimony. They see your behavior. They see your conduct. And it will affect others. And that alone is a witness. That's what John the Baptist was. He was a witness of the light, and we are to be a witness of that light. And so let me encourage you tonight that if you are not walking in the light that you should be, I mean, you know if you're walking in darkness or not. You know if you're walking in truth or not. I don't have to tell you what that is. But if you are walking in the light, or if you start walking in the light, I promise you it will help your fellowship. It will help your spirit. It'll help your joy. It'll help you to be all that you have been designed to be. Listen, you weren't created by God to live on this earth for yourself. You were created for Him. You are created to have fellowship with Him. And the only way that we're going to have fellowship with Him is if we're walking in the light. So let's walk in the light from here on out. All right, let's pray. Father, again, we thank You so much for today, for the opportunity that we had to be in Your house. And Father, we thank You for Your patience in our lives. We thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Father, I even think in my own life and how, Lord, many times people can frustrate me because they don't behave or act the way that I think that they should. And Lord, I know that that my grace, that my mercy, that my patience oftentimes can be strained. And I'm grateful, Father, when I consider my own life and the way that I conduct my life now that I am a child of God. Father, I know that I could be living a life that's more pleasing to you. And I'm grateful, Father, for your patience in my life and your mercy and grace. I thank you for the working of your Spirit. Thank you for the conviction of the Spirit of God in my life, drawing me closer to you, pointing out that sin. And so, Father, I pray that each and every one here tonight might be asking you to search their heart for that area in their life that is not pleasing to you, that area that is in darkness, that area that is not of the light. And Father, for those of us that are saved, that for those of us that are bought by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now the children of light. And so, Father, help us. We can do nothing without you, but we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us to live the Christian life that you would have us to live. Father, I don't know, there might be some here tonight that are struggling with their joy. They're frustrated with the trials, the difficulties that are taking place in their life. Father, I pray that you would comfort them, that you would help them to realize that you are light, that you are love. Father, that you are all-knowing and all-powerful, that you are in complete control of the situation. And so, Father, I pray that you would use this invitation time, that you would use these events that take place in our life to grow us, to mature us, to draw us closer to you, that we might be that witness that John the Baptist was, that others might see the life of Christ being lived out in our lives. Help us to be a living witness. Help us to be a living testimony. Help us to be the church members that you would have us to be. Help us to be the family members that you would have us to be. And Lord, again, thank you so much for your word and how it does change lives. Now, change each and every one of us into your image. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's do this. David, you want to come up? And let's just have a quick invitation time. And I know that I need it. And I hope that you recognize that you need it. All of us can be closer to the Lord. That should be our desire, that we would be closer to God today than we were yesterday. That if we had a pathway here, that we would be right smack in the middle of that pathway of light, because that's what God wants us to. But oftentimes, because of trials, tribulations, because of situations in our life, we get ourselves discouraged. We get ourselves off. We get our focus off of God. We get our focus on ourselves, on our situation, and we can allow that to affect our joy. And so, but if we recognize that God is in control, that He is perfect, He's holy and righteous, He does not make mistakes. Can't help but to think about Job and the things that God allowed Job to go through. And it wasn't because God was not light, because He is light. But it was just a time to grow Job and to draw him a little bit closer to Him. And so the Lord uses situations to draw us closer to Him, including the preaching of His word. And so as we looked tonight, we are to be in fellowship with one another, be in fellowship with God, and how that takes place is being in the light, being participants, being engaged and involved in the work of the ministry, just like Jesus Christ was. He's our example, and so let Him be our example. So
540.
So as David sings and Miss Nancy plays, let's do some business with the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Good to see everybody again this weekend. And keep praying for Brother Wetzel. And we're going to stop by and see him on the way home and get a good report. But let me encourage you to be here Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. If Brother Wetzel's not here preaching, somebody will be, either myself or possibly Brother Sam. But we'll make sure that things are taken care of. And I told Pastor Wetzel on Thursday that I am here as long as he needs me, and so not to worry. And but we're privileged to be able to be here with you today, and just keep Brother Wetzel in your prayers. All right. Pray for one another, and have a good week. You are dismissed.